71 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Hope everybody is doing well. Hope you guys are ready to talk a whole bunch because we got plenty of time to do it. We talked a lot about the game yesterday. If you guys are ready to move on, we can somewhat move on. We'll have to bring it back up a little bit because remember, on Tuesdays, we are joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson at the top of the hour. So we'll talk with Clint. We got to get his thoughts on the game. And plus, just kind of talk about what's next, right? That's the title of the stream. What's next for Alabama? We'll talk about that as well. So remember, be tuning in for that. 12 o'clock, we've got Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Plus, like we always do on a Talking Tuesday, we'd like to extend the invitation to you guys to join in on the conversation. 205-342-9904. You can call in if you guys want to do that. Or you can always drop an app message. Don't forget about that. Download that Tide 100.9 app. That's where you leave those app messages. We'll make sure we get back on those, reading those. Or you can always come hang out with us on the stream at the Miller's Edge over on YouTube completely free. Just like, subscribe, and all that good stuff. And you can hang out with us, watch me do the show, hang out in the chat. We've always got plenty of people interacting in there, talking, dropping questions. And you can drop your questions and we'll discuss it here on this Talking Tuesday as well. Per usual, I want to remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts, because they are responsible for those premium arch supports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it. And if you're like me, you're on your feet all the time, always walking around, working out, doing something, right? You really can benefit from these, or just in general, right? If you're just dealing with aches, pains, lower back pain, hip pain, you name it, these things will be game changers for you. Try them out right now. Try before you buy. Nothing to lose. Go and find them in Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa, or if you're somewhere else, don't worry about it. Go to goodfeet.com. You can schedule an appointment or find the nearest location to you right there on their website and get more information with the Good Feet Store. Plus, they're responsible for the Good Feet Kick for Cash Challenge. Good luck if you do get selected, but how do you get involved or how do you get entered? Go to goodfeetkickforcash.com. Sign up, name, email, very simple process. And you'll be in the, the loop, right, to see if you get selected. If you do get selected, you got to kick some field goals. If you make them, you win some cash. I was going to make a joke, Chase, but I'm not going to do that. I was going to mess around, but I'm not going to do that. But if you guys can make kicks, so this, we struggle, other people struggle at times. It's just a joke. I promise it's a joke. I'm not messing with that. I know it's not funny, those guys. I know they're working their asses off. I'm not trying to make funny. I'm just being funny. But seriously, Good Feet Kick for Cash. If any of you guys out there think you can make some kicks, man, you can win some free cash. And, I don't know. Maybe if you're good enough, man, you might get a scout. If you got some eligibility left, they might see you doing the Good Feet Kick for Cash Challenge. They might throw on some pads at halftime and let you stand on the sideline the rest of the day. I'm done. All right, I'm done. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. Anyway, goodfeetkickforcash.com is where you do that. I mean, it's a Talking Tuesday, Chase. We're just fooling around anyway. You said it earlier when we were chatting before we got on here, man. Great weather. I've been sticking with my routine and walking my dog like every morning, man. And it's nice having this weather. But like you said, there probably will be a cold front coming. So I need to start getting my winter clothes ready. I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, man, I don't even know. I haven't touched like my jackets or anything. I probably need to go knock the dust off of them because we hadn't really had to use them. But probably will be that time soon. You know what else is almost close? It's almost close to Thanksgiving, Chase. I don't want to jump the gun, but like, Thanksgiving is one of those times of the year. I love Thanksgiving because there's two things about Thanksgiving that I always think of. I think of clearly the food. We all think about that. And also Black Friday shopping. Now, if you guys have picked up anything about me, man, I'm very frugal. But I do like a good bargain. who doesn't want a good bargain? So I don't know if you guys have been on the lookout, but I'm always scouting, trying to see if there's any good deals that I might be on the lookout for. I hadn't really seen anything just yet that I'm targeting, but I will say this though. I don't know if you guys still do it. I did give up like the actual Black Friday shopping. Things started getting a little too chaotic, man. Like people fighting over TVs and stuff. And I don't have the time or capacity to be dealing with that nonsense. I do my Black Friday shopping online. And sometimes I might go out a little late just to see if there's any leftover deals hanging around. But Chase, did you ever get into that, man? Because I know for me growing up, like that was one of the things. It was like a tradition, you know, we would always celebrate Thanksgiving, but I remember, you know, cutting out, like this was back when people actually paid attention to like the advertising they got in the mail, man. We used to cut out and clip, you know, the coupons for like the deals we were going to aim for and all that stuff like the night before, then go out there and try to get it. I was always trying to get video games. I was a kid. Did you ever get into any of that? Like actually going out there and Black Friday shopping like that or no?
You know, it's crazy. I was actually invited when I was little to go with some of my friends. And I had no idea what it was or what was the meaning behind it. And I was like, why are people living in their tents, PJs on, like it just staying up till the crack of dawn just to get into a store? But then I got the gist of it, and then I became a part of it with my family. And it's a cool tradition. I might do it. Excuse me. I might do it this year just for the heck of it. I don't really need anything, but I just love seeing people just like frantic trying to get into Best Buy or trying to get into Ulta, trying to get the latest deal. And it's like, yeah but it's an American phenomenon that just keeps on giving. I'll say that.
And it's unfortunate. It kind of got so chaotic that I was just like, I gotta stay away from it. Cause people, I mean, like, I'm like, man, I get the TV deals are great, but I'm like, come on, man. I mean, I've seen people in there like, literally one person's on one end, another person on the other. They're like playing tug of war and stuff. I'm like, nah, it's crazy. I see Talking Tide in the chat. He said Cyber Monday. That's a good one too. Get a bunch of deals on there. Anyway, I don't know. That just was on my mind because we were talking about the weather changing and all that stuff, man. It's almost that time. But hopefully you guys got some good Thanksgiving plans and you're able to go spend time with family and do all that fun stuff. But we'll get to that when we get there. Right now, we're going to be where our feet are. We're going to talk about some football today. Tuesday also means that you got the rankings coming out. Those will be out tonight. We'll see where Alabama lands after falling to Oklahoma 23-21. We do know where Alabama's ranked right now in like the AP, and that is actually number 10. So still in a spot where you went out, you're still good, right? We already talked about all that, but just to reiterate, you take care of business the next 2 weeks in the regular season. I mean, you're like 90% sure going to be in the SEC championship, if not more. And we all know that means you're going to be in the playoffs too. So everything's still in front of us. But just curious how the committee sees Alabama. Because personally, I think the biggest thing that I had an issue with the AP chase was the fact that Notre Dame was ahead of us. That didn't make sense to me. Again, I think they're forgetting about the whole quality win, strength of schedule type deal. Because that just didn't make sense. But again, the AP doesn't really matter. It's the college football playoffs, official rankings, which come out tonight. So if you guys want to preview that or give your predictions, I guess we can talk about that as well. And plenty more, because I'm sure plenty more will be coming up. There's been some drama. I just want to throw this out there too before we hit this time out. There's been some drama, Chase, not in Tuscaloosa, luckily, but over in Oxford, right? You know, Lane Kiffin over there doing a great job. They're crushing it right now, top 10 team, have playoff hopes and looking to try to make a run. But they're battling against some distractions right now, man. Allegedly, I don't know the validity of these reports or whatever the case may be, but there's like some plane or was supposed to be planes picking up Lane's family, giving them a tour of Baton Rouge. So it seems like there's definitely some proof we're now seeing of interest from his end in the LSU job, which I think everybody assumed that. But when you talk about going and taking visits and tours, man, I mean, that's very telling. And we're talking about they're still in the middle of the regular season. I'm just going to be honest with you. We can talk about this a little bit too. If I'm a player and I know my coach is kind of, you know, you already know like in the back of your head, like if jobs come up, like coaches, it is what it is. Like you understand that part. But part of it is kind of like, come on, man. Like, and maybe I'm just kind of, maybe it affects me a little bit different because speaking of Lane, I mean, when we lost in 2016, he wasn't coaching that game. He was our offensive coordinator that whole year until the very last game. because he did end up taking a job. What was it? What school did he go to? Small Florida school. I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, he took that
was
job.
Was it Liberty?
No, nah, that was Hugh Freeze, but why am I drawing a blank, man? Anyway, the chat wound up creating this. Kiffin took the job in Sarkisian, who literally was with us as an analyst. And I don't even think so. I think Sarkisian just got there. If my memory serves me correctly, I'm pretty sure Sarkisian, he wasn't with us even the whole year. He had got there. FIU, thank you. Thank you. It was FIU. Or Florida Atlantic, FAU.
Yeah, it was FAU. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. You're good. I was off too. I couldn't even think of it. And Sarkisian took over, which was really weird to us. But I got to tip my hat to him. He did a damn good job for being, I don't know, an analyst for like a month and then, you know, offensive coordinator in the national championship game. I mean, before Bo Scarborough, right? Let me not mess his name up. I don't want to be like other people. I know his name. I respect his name. Bo Scarborough. Before he broke his leg, everything was pretty solid. And to be fair, you know, defense, we gave up that touchdown at the end. So, you know, Sark did what he's supposed to. But anyway, what I'm getting at is that would kind of bother me as a player if I'm sitting here like, man, we're locked in. All we talk about all off season, spring, you know, training camp, you know, winning championships, doing this. And it's like, come on, bro. Like, we ain't even finished the regular season and you're kind of flirting with other jobs right now. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I understand coaches, you know, they do what's best for them. And I understand they put themselves in opportunities. The players play a big role in that too. But I'm just like, out of respect, like, come on, man. Like, I don't know. But I do know, I mean, you got to probably work on a timetable with those big jobs too. I mean, they want answers. They want to find who they're going to hire and they don't want to be waiting in limbo either. Because look at Virginia Tech. They already made the move and hired James Franklin. So, I mean, good coaches aren't going to be sitting around on the shelf for a while. So I understand both sides, but I don't know. I feel bad for those players at Ole Miss because they're doing some really good stuff. They got a chance to make a run, but right now, I mean, they're dealing with some distractions out of their control. But it's part of it. We can talk a little bit about that as well. We already got Ricky on the phone lines. We'll hear what Ricky's got to say. Ricky's been tripping on Twitter lately, man. So I need to hear from my guy, Ricky, man. I need to hear what Ricky's got on his plate. And we'll do that when we come back. Plus more right here on the Miller's Edge. Talking Tuesday edition. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Be right back.
Or visit meswins.com. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9-
Soothing comfort. Now only $17.99 for our C2 mattress and base, plus free premium delivery. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
It's easy and it's free. Go to mylocalcustomers.com today.
That's mylocalcustomers.com. Mylocalcustomers.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support expert. So we're going to talk about what's next for Alabama and, you know, some things still from yesterday. We got to listen to Kalen DeBoer from his press conference. We're going to get to all that stuff coming up. But it is talking to, so that's why I'm bringing up a number of topics. And I am curious about the whole Lane thing. I know a lot of people have been talking about that. And I can't figure out if he's going to stay put or not. I know he's probably entertaining the ideas, but I don't know, man. I know we talked about this briefly, but in my opinion, like, I mean, what he's built up at Ole Miss, I mean, having to go and restart, I understand the whole idea about LSU and, like, you know, tradition, history and that stuff. People say, oh, well, you can recruit a little bit better there. I'm sure you probably can a little bit, but, like, Look what he's already done at Ole Miss. And I would argue nowadays, man, while recruiting is a big deal and it's important, I mean, if you have a good balance of strong recruiting and transfer portal, which they do, I don't know, man. I don't know. But we'll have to see. So a lot of people think he's just going to kind of entertain it and play that whole game and then stay put. I don't know. But I am interested to find out what happens, though. But it does seem like he's going to set up a whole LeBron taking my talents to type situation, whether that's actually leaving or staying put. But let's do this. Let's jump to the phone lines. I want to hear from Ricky, 205-342-9904. We got Ricky from L.A. Ricky, welcome in.
Man, what's going on?
Not much, man. Tell me, what's going on with you, Ricky, man? What you got? What you got for us today, man?
All right. So, quick question. So, I guess not really a quick question, but Oklahoma's defense, right? I thought Kip Lewis, their outside linebacker, had like a hell of a game.
Yeah.
And I know you admire like a really good defense. Like, I just want to know what you thought about like Kip Lewis, OU's outside linebacker. I think he stepped in for an injured player, but I thought like they were flying around. Like, I was honestly like super impressed. And I guess my second question would be like with Ryan Grubb. It's like, I thought Josh Quaithers had like the high hand. And clearly, like, OU is just, like, we're not giving up any, like, any explosive plays. Like, so they have, like, a lot of our guys, like, covered like crazy. So is there a reason you think that, like, Ryan Grubb just didn't, like, feed our tight ends more, like, throughout the game?
Well, I mean, he did. I mean, Quaithers had a lot of targets. I mean, Quaithers had a great game. I think it just kind of, you know, simmered down towards the end of the game. Quaithers was our leading receiver in terms of yards. I'm not sure about receptions, but I know he did have 6 receptions. I'd almost, if I had to guess before I get the stat pulled up, that he was our leading receiver in terms of receptions as well. No, actually, Jeremy Bernard had 7, but he was our second with 6, but did have the most yards at 80. So we definitely target our tight end. And, I mean, we were hitting them, you know, whether it's quick stick routes, I mean, you know, delayed screens. I mean, they implement tight ends in a number of different ways. And I thought that was the right idea. Look, if you go back and look how Oklahoma was playing it, they were almost kind of giving up the shorter intermediate routes, right? Because I think they were more concerned about taking away those deeper shots. And I know people are like, well, why would they do that? Ties have been very accurate deep. I'm not necessarily saying like those go balls, those deep shots like that. I'm saying even like, when Ty's able to attack the middle of the field, like those deep ends or those digs, you know what I'm saying? Those, to me, I thought right. Oklahoma was trying to pay a little more attention to that, and they were willing to give up those short intermediate routes then break on the football, which they did a pretty good job at. Now, obviously, sometimes it did lead to big plays where you saw Quaithers break a tackle, right, and then he's going for more. But some of those other times where you saw them, you know, we try to dump into the flat, quick out, and then they have somebody break on the football immediately. That was, to me, that seemed like their strategy going in this game in terms of what they're trying to do on the back end from that philosophy. But in terms of just how they played, I'll echo what you said, man. I mean, watching their defense play, I mean, they play very aggressive. They're very, you know, instrumental in what they do. They definitely take on his persona, I mean, without a doubt. But I appreciate good defense, and I thought they did that. And I know everybody's going to sit there and try to hit me with the, oh, well, Bama was moving the ball. Bama had 400 yards. We did have 400 yards, and we did have times where we did move the ball. But if you really look at it, I mean, I can tell you where about 100 and some of those passing yards came from. You got about 30 or something yards with that the stumble Ruski, right? So you basically hit them with, like, some deception, and the guy just didn't see Quaithers. You had the underneath delayed screen to Quaithers that he scored on. That was another 30-something yard gain. And he had another what seemed like another 30 or so yard gain where he broke that tackle. They brought a blitz, 38, missed the tackle, and he, you know, broke upfield. What I'm getting at is I think people are staring too much at the numbers and making it seem like we just were just running all or just walking. You know, it is a walk in the park for us going against their defense. And I didn't see it that way. I thought we definitely had moments where we did move the ball well, but then we had other moments where they stepped up big, and that's not to mention the turnovers that I'll just be honest with you. I know a lot of people a lot of Bama fans have summed it up as like, oh, those are just mistakes on our part. But I would argue that they forced a lot of those issues. That pick six, I broke it down for you guys. They forced that. The strip sack, again, I broke that down. Good coverage on the back end. Dude had a great cross chop on Michael Carroll. He came up with the big play there. Those blitzes that they operate so well. That's what stands out to me, just how they, when they do blitz and they run a lot of simulated pressures, I mean, whether it's third down or first down, they don't care. They get the looks that they want. They pop guys out, and they're basically able to generate pressure while not bringing as many guys as they're kind of trying to deceive you to think they're bringing. And then they drop those guys out, and they do a really good job covering on the back end while getting the, you know, the protection looks and things that they want up front that give them success when they do bring heat. So, I mean, I was impressed with what they did. Do I think they're invincible? No. Do I think our offense still should have had success, you know, when it was all said and done? Yeah, I do. So I see both sides of it. So I want to make sure that's clear. I don't want people to think I'm just glazing their defense and making it seem like we never stood a chance. I never said that. I'm just saying they play really good defense. They play really hard defense. And I just think it falls in the middle, right? Like, I know a lot of Bama fans make it seem like we just – all of it was, like, you know, self-inflicted, which a lot of it was, but a lot of it too was what they were doing. So I'm just falling in the middle where I thought they did a lot of good things that helped force some of the errors that we made, and we also played a bad game.
Well, I don't really necessarily believe in the idea of, like, we beat ourselves. Like, I thought we talked about this kind of like last year before we went into Norman about like how good Brent Venables was. I think you played against him, right? Like, when he was a coordinator.
Man, I go way back. He recruited me out of high school, bro. I've known Brent Venables since I was, like, 16 years old, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm very familiar with him and his defense. He recruited me to play. Clemson was my first offer, matter of fact. So, I played against him in college, bro. Like, he's a great, great defensive mind. And if you watch how those guys play, they play with that intensity that he carries, right? I mean, like, they play fast, they play physical, and they're a good defense, man. And that was without their top edge rusher too, man.
I think he came into, like, the game, he knew what he wanted to do. And I think he was, like, okay with, like, hey, get us a couple of field goals. I know, like, our defense is going to step up. Like, I think he came in with a game plan. I don't really, you know, I know, like, I think there's every game where players are just like, there's a couple of, like, plays we wish we had back. But I thought, like, OU came in, like, playing lights out. Like, they were, like, attacking the ball everywhere. Like, and I think they even forced
that fumble they forced on Daniel Hill, but for whatever reason, it just fumbled the ball. Recovery. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, we were after it. So I didn't think, like, I was watching the game, and then I watched it again. I'm like, man, this wasn't like a, you know, our offense just didn't play our best. Like, I thought we actually offensively played pretty solid against, like, a defense of this caliber, which I thought going into the game would be the best defense we faced all year.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I just thought OU played lights out. Defensively, offensively, it was kind of whatever.
100%. No, and I agree. No, and that's what I've been saying, too, is that, like it's a little bit of both. Like, we definitely beat ourselves in some areas, right? There's a number of things that we didn't do well. But if you really go back and watch the tape, I agree with what you're saying. Like, some of it really just is, as you sum it up to, they just played good defense. So, like, again, the pick six. I'm not going to re-break that down. You guys already know that. But, like, they forced that. That wasn't Ty just, oh, he threw a bad pass. They forced that from the front end of it, where they lined up and got the protection that they wanted, to the back end with the safety disguising and then going and bracketing one and just basically just being in that way. Like, that was forced. Like I mentioned, the strip sack, right? I mean, they're showing six on the line of scrimmage. Two guys pop out as whole wrap players playing underneath. The guys playing deep do a good job on those switch releases that we did. They were playing over the top. Those are long developing routes, nowhere to go with the football. yes, one could argue that Ty held it too long, but the defensive end did a great job, you know, beating Michael Carroll, and he was there in 3 seconds, right? And then came up with that turnover. So, like, that to me is forced. That sack that Ty took late, you know, Daniel Hill, you know, got beat by that corner. I mean, I guess you can kind of – that one's kind of tough. I mean, yes, you can say they definitely did that because their guy beat our guy, but you also can say Daniel Hill gave that up. That was a poor pass pro. So, I mean, and then even just a number of things. And I believe this too, because I know how it is, like even with us. Sometimes when you play against certain teams or types of teams, you understand that you're going to give up certain things. So that's what I've been trying to explain too. And again, I know people, I'm sure some of our Bama fans are going to be hearing me talk about Oklahoma's defense. They're going to get upset, and that's fine. They can get upset at me. I'm breaking down football. That's all I care about. But I know how it was for us. There was times where we knew we were going to give up yards. Like our coaches knew, like, for example, when we played Clemson, we're playing Deshaun Watson. Like, yes, we're going in that game and we want to sit there and be as perfect as we can and get pass rush and limit. But we know at the end of the day, bro, they're going to put up yards on us. They're a good passing team. I think Oklahoma knew that as well. That's why when people kept telling me, like, look at Tennessee, look at Ole Miss and whatnot. And I'm like, with us, like, they know that too. They know Ty Simpson's one of the best. That's why they know they have to pressure him and make him uncomfortable, show him different looks and try to, you know, force him off his game. But they knew they were going to give up some. I mean, you're playing one of the best passing attacks in the country. So I just firmly believe that their whole thing was try to take away the deep part of the field the best they could, break on everything up front, and then bring as much pressure to throw him off his game and force stuff. And I think that's ultimately what they ended up doing in the game.
Well, I got one more question before I let you go. Yeah. Josh Pate said something like pretty like interesting that I didn't like kind of think of before. Like how you bounce back from like a loss. Now he said week one was different because after that loss, you know, like guys, he said like essentially guys' manhoods were being challenged, and I mean they called him every name under the book, and you know you got a reason to really really be like mad like going into the season after that week one loss. This one. He mentioned kind of felt different because defense did do everything they needed to do to win. Offensively, like if you just looking at stats, it's kind of like, well, why did you lose? So it's how do you think they bounced back mentally from this versus like week one?
That's a good question. I think the biggest thing is, you know, they can't over rely on external motivation like you're referencing from week one. I think the biggest thing is you walk away and just know, you know, we did not play our best game by any means. And we still only came up short by 2 points. As solid as Oklahoma was in certain aspects, we also know that was, you know, pretty uncharacteristic of Alabama in terms of maybe not the last couple of weeks, but what we had seen, you know, the few games prior to that. And so I think the biggest thing for them is they just got to understand, like defense, they did what they were supposed to do, right? You don't walk away and say, oh, we don't need to change anything, but you just walk away knowing, like, we're still on the right path. You know, we just got to keep turning up the heat. We just got to force more turnovers and keep our foot on the gas and get better and better, right? So defensively, I mean, that I don't think it's too hard to really respond from this one because they're just going to be ticked off that they played as well as they did, but they lost. If anything, I feel like they're probably going to turn the heat up on the offense, even like in the practice setting, and make sure those guys are on their game. Because, I mean, right now, offense is the one that's not picking up the slack. I mean, that's evident. But I think from the offensive side of things, they just have to understand, man, like, I know when coaches say, like, we're not far off, like, I know it's frustrating hearing that. But, I mean, they're really not, like, they really aren't that far off. If you really think about it, even going back and watch, like, the offensive line did not, like, I agree with Ryan Grubb. They actually played pretty decent, especially given the guys that they were playing against. We didn't execute completely, right? You know what I mean? You can't say, like, well, the offensive line was pretty solid. There still was a guy or two here and there at times, or the backs have to be better. But at the end of the day, man, I mean, it's always like that in football. It's always going to be down to maybe one guy missing something. And I think if they really look at it, I mean, you protect the football better in this game, even though you probably give up a few things here and there because Oklahoma's a good football team, you would have won the football game. I think we all can agree on that.
Pill,
so,
though, the big thing.
Yeah, I mean, dude, and here's like, the thing. The field goal was what it was. Yeah, I mean, if, yeah, maybe, but the field goal was what it was. I think the bigger issue to me was the turnovers, and then towards the end of the game, I mean, when you got 7 minutes, And all you need is a score. I mean, any score, really. I mean, I just feel like that philosophy there, and I thought, like he said, I mean, they're trying to score, but we just can't, take that. Like, that negative play really set us back. When you end up in, what was it, like second and 20-something or third and 20-something, whatever it was, I mean, that's a bad spot to be in. And then when the time's just, you know, ticking away, you're in a tough spot. But I get it. They're, in their minds, like, we always end up scoring points. I mean, that's not really an issue for them. But I don't know. To me, yeah. the issues remain the same for our offense. We have, I see people talking about it. Slow second halves, right? You know, trouble in the second half, that's a problem. We can't be so one-dimensional. That's why we've been talking about that. I know people keep saying, oh, it's not the running game. It was the turnovers. But you have to remember, a lot of stuff can lead up to other things, like being one-dimensional contributes to more turnovers. Yeah, I mean, that's my thing. I'm like, you might not have a surface level. You might say, oh, well, the running game wasn't that big of an issue, but being one-dimensional is an issue. And if people don't respect your running game and they're dialing up all different things for your passing game, you're going to struggle and it's going to lead to more turnovers. But I think they just got to put a couple little pieces together and I think they'll be okay. I mean, we can't forget, like, Ty, just a couple weeks ago, was playing like the best quarterback in the country. You got one of the best receiver rooms in the country. Offensive line is actually playing better. They're getting there. They're making progress. Now we need our backs to also just do their part in the running game. And I think, and protect the football, if you do those things, I mean, you're right back where you need to be, personally. So they're not far off. Right. They just got to figure something out, and quick.
Hey, man, well, I would have called sooner. I've just been doing pickups on a movie, and I've just been out of it. So.
No, you're good, bro. Do what you do.
I try to stay up to date a little bit more.
Absolutely, man. Ricky, we appreciate you as always, bro.
Appreciate you guys.
Yes, sir. We'll see you. Good deal. All right, we're going to take a timeout when we come back. We got Smitty on the phone lines. Remember, at the top of the hour, we got Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. We'll talk some more about Alabama football when we come back. If there's a quick timeout, you listen to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
Game. The Tide postgame show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
Today.
What's up, Smitty?
Man, another day, good, another bro. Dollar, man. Decided to take a PTO day like on Kawhi Leonard, man. but here's the thing, right? There's some things that sometimes losing brings clarity. Because I remember Saban always said, you learn about more in a loss than you do in a win. And I think the thing that I learned was that this coaching staff has done a damn good job with this team this season. With the deficiencies they have, we talk about deficiencies. We're like, you got some young offensive linemen, the run game and no explosion. And they still 8-2 regardless. And everybody, you know, and then like Kane Womack has improved as a coordinator. And here's the other thing I think a lot of people don't talk about. They love talking about, oh, you're disciplined, not prepared to play. When was the last time we complained about Alabama having too many penalties in a game?
It's been a minute,
that's
man.
That's coaching, right? That's coaching, right?
For sure.
Yeah. And so I think that certain things, you're seeing the imprint of this program. You're seeing they're doing things. And so you're not going to win every game. Because weren't you on campus? Weren't you on the team that year when Alabama had 5 turnovers against Ole Miss and the ball bounced off the guy's helmet to the Ole Miss guy's hand and Alabama still almost won the game?
Yeah, it was like an onside kick at the end of the game. We damn near got it. We ended up coming back and just losing that game. Yeah, I remember exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So sometimes things like that happen. You see it in the NFL all the time. We just lost a Beamer ball. It happens. But the thing is, that you saw some good things from this team. And like I said, I don't expect national championships. I just expect making a dance and seeing what happens. Because if you expect national championship or nothing, you're never going to be happy, you know? And I just have to see the growth. And I just think that when people, every time Alabama loses, the people who don't like the board because he didn't grow up in Alabama, Mississippi, or Arkansas, they come out. But my question is, all these people talking about Edge being fired up. I don't know about you, but I ain't never seen Marcus Freeman cussing folks out, and he made a national title game. You know, Ryan, they don't be cussing folks out like that. And I'm just thinking that, hey, maybe his method is working because we're seeing things getting better. Just because you lose a game doesn't mean your program is falling apart. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I definitely think, you know, I think it's just that initial reaction, Smitty, which makes sense. Yeah. I mean, nobody likes losing, and we all know our standard here, the expectations here. I mean, they're about as high as they can be. So I think right now you're dealing with a lot of that. People just initially reacting. It's like, oh, no. And plus, I think it's the fashion in which we lost. I mean, I think if the turnovers weren't a thing, the missed field goal wasn't a thing, and I think it just was one of those games where it was back and forth and we played a little bit cleaner, but we ultimately fell. I think that would be a little bit different, too. I think it's more so people just looking at it like, man, we shouldn't have lost given how sloppy we – like, basically said we played so sloppy like we did that to ourselves. But like I said earlier, I think it's a combination of both. Like, as sloppy as we played, best believe a lot of it was contributed by what Oklahoma was doing. Like, we pulled up the tape. We showed that. But at the end of the day, I'm with you, man. People have to understand. I mean, we're still very much in position to do everything. I mean, like, literally – we could win out the rest of the way and people forget all about this, other than maybe people, you know, don't like losing at home or it's homecoming. But other than that, winning solves things. And I guarantee you, if we go on and go win an SEC championship, nobody's going to be even talking about this game anymore. So I think we're just dealing with the initial rumbling. But
Yeah. And I know a lot of fans and some media is like, oh, Lord, we got to win at Auburn. House of Horrors. Guys, we had our stinker. I always say, just look at the NFL, just about every team has a game like that where everything went wrong. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Alabama also had an emotional rivalry game at LSU. Oklahoma had a bye week, you know. And we play a lot of teams coming off a bye week this season, you know. And that's another thing. And I think with this team, this coaching staff is squeezing every bit of juice out of this lemon. And I think as long as you play your game at Auburn, handle your business, don't have penalties, don't help them out, we'll be all right. And fans, don't be nervous about making the SEC title game and losing it, because guess what? If Alabama enters that game at 10-2, and if they lose that game, I think they could beat Texas A&M if they play A&M. They're not going to drop them out, because you just going to end the conference championship game, to be honest with you. you know, they just going to say, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah, well, I think if you, regardless if you win or lose it, I think Alabama still would find themselves in the playoffs. I mean, is there a small potential that you don't? Maybe, but I think more than likely still would be. I'm not going to lie to you. I do think that Texas A&M matchup would – I'm not gonna lie. That would definitely be one heck of a matchup. You talk about another good defense, a lot of pass rush. I mean, they get after it defensively, but then on the offense side of the football, man, they're very productive, and they got a quarterback that has that dual threat ability, and not like, you know, Mateer, but an actual dual threat. So I'm not gonna lie, that matchup would kind of concern me a little bit. Just being honest with you, but you're right, it'd be a good one, and I'd definitely be glued to the TV, but. All in all, I think, I mean, you're right in terms of we just got to just play our game, do what we do, and get back on schedule, and we should be good to go. But look, and to your original point real quick, you're right. Sometimes it does take an actual loss to really kind of turn that light bulb on. I mean, I think a lot of people, especially in the media, have been talking about Alabama needs to fix these things. If not, it's going to end up coming back to biting them. That ended up happening. But sometimes as players, man, like, you're so focused on, oh, we won. Whereas you don't really think some of those things are as important as they really are. Hopefully this loss was that wake-up call, the second wake-up call that they might have needed to say, all right, like, we knew we needed to clean this stuff up, but now we really understand why we need to get it cleaned up.
Yeah.
Because that's what, like, again, moving forward, and anytime you play another balanced team like this, you're going to be in a tough situation until you become more balanced yourself. I believe that for a fact. Until Alabama also becomes more balanced offensively, anytime you play a team that has really good defense and can put points on the board, you're going to find yourselves in really tough situations. And hopefully the ball continues to fall our way. But I'm not going to lie, that's why I said a few weeks ago, like, as happy as I was with, the, you know, where we were at, I just kept saying it felt like we kept finding ourselves in situations and we were very fortunate the ball fell our way, whether it was South Carolina, Missouri. So I think people forget, I mean, that Missouri game, I mean, if that quarterback was even a little bit more accurate and was able to hit guys, they were marching down the field about to potentially win that game. You know what I mean? So, those are little things that's got to clean up.
I'm going to shout out one guy, even though we lost the game. I know Michael Carroll got beat on the sack. That happens to everybody once in a while. But that effort he gave when that pick six, that says a lot about that young man and how they bought in. And I give him credit. And it's remarkable. He almost caught the guy. Hey, you have a good one, Christian.
Yes, sir. You too, Smith. I appreciate it, man. No, that's true. Yeah, shout out to Michael Carroll with that effort, man. We can work with that, man. And to be fair, I mean, did he get beat some of that game? Yeah, sure. I mean, you expect that. He's a young guy, but... Look, I'm all for just letting him grow. And give Will Conformi some credit, too. He actually played a solid game. I think he, according to, like, the numbers, like, the grades, I think he actually was, like, the highest-graded lineman. So I want to give him his props because he was at guard, right? And that's not his natural position. I think, you know, he works there, but he's not full-time there. So maybe that's what they need to stick with. Wilkin at guard, Carroll at tackle, and just let them go right there, right? Stop the moving around. Just keep it like that. Keep it simple and let them finally get some chemistry. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll be joined by Clint Lamb on the phone lines of Cover Crimson. You're listening to the Miller's Edge.
If you start feeling cough and congestion coming on, take Mucinex Kickstart for relief with a kick. At your favorite retailer, use as directed.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next
game. The Tide Post Game Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
And the Cowboys cruise past the Raiders 33-16 to wrap up week 11 of the NFL, where Dak Prescott threw for 268 yards and four touchdowns, while George Pickens had nine catches for 144 yards and a touchdown. In the NBA, the Bulls came ready to play in Denver.
The send-out accepted by Vooch in front to Herter. Rolling to his right. See a Vooch. Topside open three. Bam! Big-time shot! at Vooch.
You just heard on the Bulls radio network, they snapped their five-game losing streak and beat the Nuggets 130-127. The 76ers came back to defeat the Clippers 110-108. James Harden ended with 28 points and has officially reached 28,000 career points. The Cavaliers topped the Bucks 118-106. The Heat held on 115-113 at home against the Knicks, and the Pistons have won 10 in a row after defeating the Pacers 127-112. On the ice, the Ducks topped the Mammoth 3-2 in overtime.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at AndrewSportsMedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mild afternoon, the sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 76. Tonight, mostly fair with the low at 59. For tomorrow and Thursday, partly sunny both days and warm. Highs between 78 and 81 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts, where we're joined now by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, like we always do on Tuesdays here on the show. Clint, welcome in, man.
How you doing today, Christian?
Oh, man, can't complain, man. Another day, another dollar talking football, man. So everything's good over here, man. Looking forward to talking with you. I know since last time we talked, obviously a lot has happened. Alabama, unfortunately, drops their second game on the year, 23-21 to a very solid Oklahoma team. Maybe not the most explosive offense out there, but definitely a very sound defense. Might as well just go ahead and get started here. Clint, just tell me your overall thoughts from this game. I know you've talked plenty about it. You're probably sick of it, but I'm just curious, kind of what did you see transpire in this loss to Oklahoma?
Well, I think, as many people have pointed out, turnovers and special teams, you know, those were the two biggest detriments. Obviously, they ran the football a little bit better than I was personally expecting. I wouldn't say they ran it well. I thought the way that Oklahoma, they presented some opportunities to run the football, and you got to give Alabama credit for at least, you know, making those positive gains, you know, kind of taking advantage of some of those opportunities. But at the same time, the lack of explosives, that's really how you get opposing teams or opposing defenses worried about your run game, when it's been pretty much non-existent or hasn't really been a threat throughout the entirety of the season. There's been some, you know, good things here and there in certain games, but overall, it just hadn't been a consistent threat. If you could have made Oklahoma pay for some of the things they were doing as far as numbers, you know, with some explosives, you rip off a couple of you know, two, three, you know, chunk yardage plays, they probably would have started playing you a little bit differently. Maybe you could have presented some opportunities for Ty Simpson off of play action, create some more spacing in the passing game, do some of those different things. But instead, they were getting, you know, four, five, or six. You know, you did have the one long, I think it was a 28-yard run from Daniel Hill, but otherwise, it was all, you know, very minimal gains. Now, granted, you got to give them credit because there wasn't really any that went for negative yardage, and that's certainly a positive development, especially against a defense that's really good at creating negative plays. But you know, it wasn't enough offensively based off of what they were doing. The turnovers were critical, and obviously when you lose that badly on special teams, you're going to lose a football game. So it was just a bad combination of factors, and the fact that Alabama still only lost by 2 points, I think that kind of, you know, paints a picture, but it's still a loss.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I think that's, you know, when you're trying to find a positive perspective, I think that's probably the clear number one. I mean, as sloppy as we played, you only lose by 2 points. So definitely a lot to build off of and a lot of confidence that you should have moving forward. Clint, I want to get your thoughts on a guy who he's been catching a little bit of criticism lately. Now, I know I posted a clip talking about one of the reads. Now, I didn't mean to post that so everybody was jumping on him from the game. I genuinely just finding the clip. But Ty Simpson, we talked about the lack of running game, and here's my take on it. I think he's getting a little bit more criticism than he probably deserves, and here's why I say that. While he did have some misses in this game, we know there's some missed throws here and there. I also understand that's natural. Even the best of the best, Pat Mahomes, has misses and, you know, throws picks, especially when you're playing against a defense who forces stuff like that by what they're doing. But also, I cut him some slack because I also understand that when you have a lack of running game and when you don't have as much help around you, just like, you know, Jalen Milrow, you know, felt that struggle at times over the last couple of years, it puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback in that position. How would you grade Ty in this past game? Because personally for me, I didn't think he played that bad. I know he had some misses. I know he had the turnovers. My biggest thing is just, you know, hold on to the football a little bit better and really just not holding on to it too long, because there's a couple of times I felt like he did that. Then the other thing I would say is I think he's got to trust his legs and his athletic ability sometimes and just take off when stuff isn't there if he is trying to just make a play out of something that might not be there. But would you agree with that maybe he's probably getting a little bit too much criticism right now?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, I think we can all admit that he's not playing his best football right now, and he really hasn't been for the last few games. You have to be able to acknowledge that, but you also got to ask yourself, maybe why is that? I think one of the things that kind of plays into it a little bit, and you'd never know just how much, but you got to think about, like, Julian Stain at Ohio State and Fernando Mendoza at Indiana. Those guys are kind of having these ups and downs as far as opponent, where they can kind of really build their confidence. You got to think, after there was a lot of struggle against Florida State in week one from pretty much everybody, but Ty Simpson, you know, kind of in a similar fashion, did some good things, put some stuff on tape that you like, but also struggled in some other areas. He was able to get back out there against ULM, really build his confidence up, and then he was able to get out there against Wisconsin, who was just not a very good football team, and once again build his confidence up before they went into a bye week and before they started this really long, tough, grueling road. You talk about these other quarterbacks, and they kind of get these teams or opponents sprinkled in where what you would call a confidence-building opportunity. Ty's going to be able to get that this weekend against Eastern Illinois. I understand it's Eastern Illinois, so, you know, we'll have to wait. And I mean, obviously, it would be better probably if you were going against a team that was really struggling as far as pass defense, but also with a, you know, opponent that could at least get you some sort of respect. But this could be an opportunity for Alabama to have a get-right game. And I think for Ty Simpson, that's as important as anybody else. Because when you're looking and watching him play, he's still doing some things pre and post-snap, doing some NFL-caliber operation as far as the offense. But some of the routine stuff, the digs across the middle of the field that he was making pretty routinely earlier in the season, he's not doing it right now, at least not consistently enough. And so I think that's been a massive part of, you know, before when he was kind of playing Superman ball in the sense that he was kind of doing everything right, it felt like, you know, you could kind of compensate for a lack of a run game or some of the other issues that you might be having. Right now, he's not hitting those things. And so I think it's really made, when you talk about not having a vertical passing game, you talk about not having a consistent run game. It's just, I mean, now you're short to intermediate, you know, anywhere from 10 to 25 yards. Now that that's kind of hit or miss, you see more drives stalling out. And, you know, I think that's creating a much less effective offense that's really affecting everything. So you can sit here and say, you can put it on Ty. I do think Ty's decline play, at least to an extent, is probably where you're starting to see that gap relative to earlier in the season. But you also can't blame him, because you couldn't have expected him to sustain that level of play for the entirety of the year. So, I mean, I understand putting some of it on his shoulders, but some of the other elements, you know, the defense has certainly done a good job, but some of the other offensive elements are really going to need to step up and provide some complementary pieces on that side of the football.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, the complementary piece is probably the most important, and that's why I do feel like he's got so much pressure on him because I get it, man. I mean, when you're asked to do pretty much everything, it's tough. And then you start feeling, even if it's just kind of like that mental piece, like you have to make these plays. Sometimes you start just, now you're off a little bit just because of the added pressure of not having that type of complimentary football. So I agree 100% with everything you said. We're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, covercrimson.com. You can check them out on YouTube, Cover Crimson, and Clint at Clint R. Lamb on X. Clint, talk to me a little bit about the defense, man. I mean, this makes like three games in a row now that these guys have kind of, put the team on their backs and they've been, really solid. Anything that stood out to you from their performance? I know to me, I think Hill Green, man, you went back and watched the game, but he just was flying around. And to me, that level of physicality and the way he plays downhill right now, I see why he's getting more and more snaps each week. And man, that type of play, I think, is what we've seen more and more out of this defense. And to me, I think the way they're playing right now is exactly the way you need them to play if you do want to have the opportunity to go make a run in the postseason.
I 100% agree with you. Yeah, I think you nailed it. I mean, really, 3 points is all Oklahoma from a driving the length of the field. And I say the length of the field, I don't even know if you could really call it that because it was a field goal and I want to say they only had to go 40-something yards. But 3 points is really the only way that Oklahoma got traditional points. You got to pick six on defense, whether it be on special teams or your defense, they were positioning your offense, especially with that field goal kicker where you're getting turnovers, you're in plus territory. You get one first down and now, you're in field goal range. It was just the defense and give them credit because you got to think they only gave up one touchdown and it was on a short field. But otherwise, when they were being put in those situations due to the special teams or due to the defense, they were the offense, they were stepping up to the plate and holding Oklahoma to field goals. And in my opinion, in those situations, that's a win for your defense. You can't expect anything more on those drives, majority of those drives than what you were getting. Oklahoma and what they were doing, especially in some of those third down situations, getting the football out of Mateer's hands very quickly. I think they understood that Alabama's pass rush is becoming a bigger problem as they get some solutions figured out. And so, with their offensive line kind of being up and down, a true freshman left tackle, I think they had a couple of freshmen starting on their offensive line. They were trying to protect Mateer a little bit and getting the football out of his hand. That kind of limited the pass rushing opportunities, the true pass rushing opportunities for the defense. But I think overall, they did a really good job at all three levels. You talk about Mekhi Hill Green and the performance that he had. I mean, I think right now, I think all three linebackers are playing well overall. I think probably your most consistent guy is Mekhi Hill Green. I just think now that he's gotten comfortable in this system, now that he's gotten comfortable playing in the SEC, he's making more plays in space. He's still that physical, thumper type of linebacker that you've always seen from him. And so he's just providing a lot for the defense right now. And I mean, if you'd have told me, you got to think about it. Mateer threw for 138 yards, no touchdowns, averaged, well under 10 yards per attempt. You look at the run game, Xavier Robinson, only 3.4 yards per carry. Mateer only averaged 2.3. Blaylock, the freshman, he averaged less than a yard per carry. If you would have told me all of those things going into this game, I wouldn't necessarily have said that I was, shocked by it. But I would have said, okay, Alabama probably wins and wins big. If you had also told me that they were going to be putting up 400 yards of offense and, outrushing Oklahoma and, a lot of those things as far as, time of possession and things like that. But it's just, it all came down to special teams and turnovers. And if they play 10 times, I kind of hate when people use this, but how often are they going to be losing the turnover battle 3-0? Not saying they wouldn't lose it if they played, nine more times, but I don't think they would lose it that lopsided. And so I think ultimately Alabama is still the better football team. But at the end of the day, the scoreboard didn't reflect it. So, hats off to Oklahoma because while I do say all of that, they came out playing like a team that had their backs against the wall. And Alabama really didn't. And they found themselves down in a pretty deep hole early. Now Alabama's the ones with their backs against the wall. We'll see how they respond moving forward.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with you, man. And it's going to be interesting to see, where things end up with them, man, because they're now a top 10 team. I got to see what else they have left, but very well could find themselves in the playoff picture. And who knows, man, maybe we will get a a chance to get some get back on those guys. Clint, we got a few questions from some of our folks in the chat. I'm going to put two of these together. One of them was about Danny Lewis. Have you heard anything regarding Danny Lewis or his update? I mean, we've hardly really seen him this year. And at least personally, I think, I mean, he could play a role in helping out, at least, you know, just having him block in that C area. He's a physical guy. I think that he could, you know, probably benefit, excuse me, or, you know, attribute there. But and other guys, everybody right now, man, with the lack of running game, it is just like, you know, the backup quarterback's the best guy on the team. That's a phrase we like to say. A.K. Deer is probably the best guy on the team right now. I mean, everybody wants to see him. Do you think we see more of him personally? I'm just going to be honest. Everything that I know, and if you just read between the lines of what the coaches say, it just sounds like he's not necessarily where they would need him to be to feel comfortable enough to put him over the likes of Daniel Hill or even J.M. Miller. That's just kind of how I'm reading that situation. But I'm just curious your thoughts, because everybody every day is asking me, where's A.K. Deer? When are we going to see him? So I'm curious what your thoughts are, Clint.
Yeah, you know, that's just how people are. Obviously, the product isn't what they want it to be as far as the run game. Everybody knows how important getting the run game going, you know, is moving forward. And so based off of what they've seen, they haven't seen a solution yet. So it's like, hey, this kid was really talented, the number two running back in that recruiting cycle, and, you know, has a lot of ability. But we also got to remember he's a true freshman. And I will say, based off of what I saw back in the spring, it seemed like he was a pretty good ways away. And granted, that was limited, but I was just, you saw the flashes. I mean, even in that open practice, I mean, I thought he did some things, and you're like, yeah, this kid's definitely got that it factor. But I think from a consistency standpoint, he still had a ways to go. Now, granted, based off of what we heard about him, I do think he made tremendous strides over the summer and into fall camp. But, I mean, it's just they've got to be able to question you, go out there and do your job. And everybody's going to point and say, well, I mean, you know, you're questioning pass protection with A.K. Deer, but yet both Daniel Hill and Jam Miller, they both are each give up a sack. I mean, what's really the difference? It's consistency. You know, I think they know that Jam Miller, yes, he gave up a sack, but he's pretty consistent and reliable when it comes to pass protection. Daniel Hill, he's gotten beat a couple of times this year, but overall he's pretty consistent. And so, you know, I think Daniel Hill right now, I like Jam Miller. I've defended him a lot based off of play and what they're giving him right now. I do think Daniel Hill getting him volume is probably your best bet. But I do still think that Jam Miller is going to be involved. And while I still think A.K. Deer has a tremendous future, and he might get some opportunities, they might throw him out there this weekend against Eastern Illinois and say, okay, you know, let's see what you do with it. You know, maybe that could end up being something that we see, but I just, right now, I'm not foreseeing that. I think it's going to be more of what you've seen up to this point, because, and everybody's got to understand, they are seeing everything. They have the complete package as far as the information. We're all dealing with pieces. And so if their call is to keep it with Jam and Daniel, you know, I'm not saying necessarily that I agree with it, but it makes sense to me. And I think that's something that probably Nick Saban or anybody else would do as well.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. That's how I've always viewed it, just because I understand. I mean, even, you know, when I was playing or even after, I mean, if a guy's not playing, 9 out of 10 times, there's a reason, or there's something that coaching staff sees that people on the outside might not. Now, there are some times, and I gave the example, to be fair. I mean, Derrick Henry is freshman year before I got here, but he didn't really play much his freshman year. And I remember he met with Coach Saban and ended up playing in that bowl game and had a big game against Oklahoma. So I'm sure there are situations where there is a guy that's on the shelf that probably could get out there. But I remember people used to ask me over the last couple of years about Keon Keeley, who I'm close with personally. And I just knew he wasn't ready, right? I mean, that just was the fact. He wasn't where he needed to be. But everybody was basing off of, well, coming out of high school, he was this. And I'm just like, everybody's path is different. You know, I mean, I had to wait my turn, and I had to develop physically and learn the playbook and all that stuff before I was ready. So, no, I definitely agree with what you what you said there. Real quick, Clint, before we let you go here. Again, we are joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson on YouTube, Cover Crimson, covercrimson.com, and Clint R. Lamb on X. Over the next 2 weeks, and this is a question from one of our folks in the chat, what do you feel like should be the biggest, or I should say, the primary focus for Alabama over the next couple weeks? What should they turn their attention to? We talked about the defense playing really solid, but I mean, I'm sure there's always things you can probably find there, but offensively and definitely special teams all around. What do you think Alabama needs to improve on over the next couple weeks?
Well, I like what they did. It kind of came out of nowhere as far as the offensive line, but I like what they did as far as you had Parker being your full-time center, you had Caden Proctor being the full-time left tackle, but you had been kind of rotating three spots on your offensive line. That's a lot of rotation. Kind of committing to Wilkin Formby at right guard and committing to Michael Kerwin, allowing them to play 100% of the snaps at right guard and right tackle. You still got some rotation there at left guard. But I think that the unit benefited from that. Now, it was still a new group, and Wilkin Formby still didn't have a ton of experience as far as playing guard, and Michael Carroll still doesn't have a ton of experience as far as playing and being the full-time relied-on starter. But I think, you know, if you could continue to do that against Eastern Illinois this weekend, and then obviously you'll have another week of practice leading up to the Iron Bowl, you can maybe start to get some continuity with your offensive line. And based off of what I saw from Formby in particular, and really Michael Carroll too, because I don't care that he gave up the sack. And, you know, that's just a good player making a good play. But I think both of those guys, they showed a lot of promise. And I think the offensive line will be better in a couple of weeks if you kind of continue to commit to those guys. I'm not saying just, hey, you know, forget about Jaden Roberts. Commit to somebody, I guess is my point. And I think Wilkin, based off of how he performed, wouldn't be surprised at all if they ended up continuing to go in that direction. I would say getting the offensive line more solidified, some more continuity there, and then obviously just get right. Go play football. You know, this was a long streak. It was impressive, but every time you stacked a win on this streak, it just became that much more difficult to keep it going. Now you've suffered the loss. You got out of that way. It wasn't anything with an effort problem or you know, you're talking about the want to of some of these guys. Like, this was just everybody played hard, including Michael Carroll, hauling his tail downfield and trying to make a tackle off the pick six. It was just they lined up and they beat you, and you did some things that hurt yourself. But, you know, they need to kind of get – this is a get-right opportunity this weekend. Just go play football. Continue to try to get back on track for your Todd Simpson, and obviously the best that you can, try to figure out that run game.
No doubt about it. And, yeah, and I like that that group that they went with offensively in terms of the line. Because I said a few weeks ago, at this point, I think Michael Carroll, just let him get his feet wet. He's going to learn it as he grows. And I think just the more experience he gets, the better he's going to be. I mean, he's got all the tools. He's got the right attitude. He plays hard. I think I saw you tweet that clip of him giving effort. One of our callers mentioned that. I mean, dude was busting his ass running down. Love seeing stuff like that, man. So, I mean, he's
absolutely
they got a good one in him. Yeah, they got a good one in him, man. He just is going to learn and grow and get better. And I think that unit will just keep meshing as long as they can finally find one group, or at least for the most part, one group. So I think Dewberry was in. I don't know if they still rotated left guard a little bit. I'm sure they probably did every now and then with, 56, Vandermark. But who knows? But you're 100% right on all that. Clint, before we let you go, man, tell all the listeners how they can keep up with you and find all that good stuff you're putting out there.
Yeah, just, you know, Cover Crimson Podcast Network, wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify. Got a YouTube channel, obviously, Cover Crimson. And then also on Twitter or X, at Clint R. Lamb. Christian, as always, brother, I appreciate you. It was great talking to you again. Hopefully we're, you know, obviously, you know, we should be feeling pretty good for next week's show. But a big game coming up, both against Eastern Illinois and Auburn. So looking forward to talking to you in the weeks to come.
No doubt, man. Definitely looking forward to it. Clint, we appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Good talking to you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Good deal. That was Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Always appreciate his work, man. Does a really good job with his breakdowns, all the content that they put out again at Cover Crimson. You can follow him, like you said, or subscribe, I should say, on YouTube and then as well on X at Cover Crimson and at Clint R. Lamb for his personal page there. All right, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll respond. I'm not sure if we have any calls lined up. If we don't, feel free to hop on here, 205-342-9904. I know we've got to get to Coach DeBoer from yesterday. We'll run that interview. It's about 8 minutes or so. It's not long. We'll listen to that and keep on rolling on this Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
They've got takeout too. Call 205-399-2024 or visit Chow's Country Buffet in Tuscaloosa, because filling your stomach shouldn't empty your wallet.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, We are here,
treating patients from every generation,
across the United States,
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers,
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers,
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next
between you and your doctor. So get out there and leave it all on the field. Leave what? Who cares? Just leave it and save with a bundle from Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
Wait to start your language learning adventure. This offer ends November 20th. Get Babbel's lifetime access for less for a limited time at Babbel.com. That's BABBEL.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mild afternoon, the sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 76. Tonight, mostly fair with the low at 59. For tomorrow and Thursday, partly sunny both days and warm. Highs between 78 and 81 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, so we just got done talking with Clint. Again, big thanks to him joining us. He joined us on Tuesdays here on the Miller's Edge, top of the hour, and always a good segment when we get Clint on here. Man, he does a really good job breaking down the game and what goes on, and he's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to Alabama for sure. So big thanks to him for joining us. We talked a little bit about the running game. Per usual, man, I feel like we always do. We will continue to do so. I saw our friends over at Sidelines, they posted this, and it just popped up. This is Alabama's rushing leaders through week 12, right? And I had to make sure, because, I mean, like, this is kind of, man. Jam is our leading rusher with 348 yards and two touchdowns. Behind him would be Kevin Riley with 186 yards. And then Daniel Hill with 164 yards on four touchdowns. And then you've got Jeremy Bernard at 97 yards. What I'm noticing is, how many total yards does Ty have on the ground? That, to me, I mean, we talk about Ty needed to take some opportunities to scramble when things aren't there and just taking off and getting what he can get. I'm wondering if that didn't include Ty, or just maybe Ty has done it. I would be shocked, Chase, if Ty doesn't have more than, because number six on here is Richard Young with 48 yards. I'm confused with that. Ty's got to have more rushing yards than that, but maybe not, man. Maybe when you take into consideration the sacks and stuff, he doesn't. But then you look at it, he had a couple runs in this past game, and I'll be honest with you guys, I wouldn't be mad if we implement a little bit more quarterback design run in our offense. I think that could be a potential to help open some things up. Here's why. You saw how it had an effect in this past game. People weren't expecting Ty to keep the ball. He keeps it. Big gains there. But then also, once people start having to respect that, I think if you do implement some more zone read / RPO type game, it could open some stuff up because people might be now turning their attention to him. I don't know. At this point, I'm willing to try different things, man. Going back and watching, I mean, the line is doing pretty good in terms of run blocking, but there's still one guy not doing one thing perfect and is giving up something. But I'll be honest, this past game, I hate to say it, but I do agree with Grubb. I mean, our backs just have to be a little bit better. But I don't know. We just got to figure out something. Hey, Chase, let's do this, because I know I want to hit this I want to hit this interview, and it's about 8 minutes. And if, to get back on 45, we can wait. We'll wait another minute or two. I'll stay on your schedule. I was trying to make sure I timed it right. Let's see if we got any comments we could hit. We'll just kill a minute or two. Derek admitted he didn't know how to pass block, but they put him in the game to run against OU. Oh, you're talking about what we were talking about earlier. Yeah, and that was one big thing back then. Coach Burns, he wasn't going to play a running back if you didn't pass block. So I'm sure that's still a rule. I think most running back coaches believe in that. But kind of like Clint was saying, I mean, you had Daniel give up a sack in pass pro, Jam give up one. I mean, those guys are definitely still the most consistent guys there. But when you start seeing that, it's almost like, well, I mean, how serious is the criteria at this point in terms of their ability to pass pro? Sam says, what do you think about Auburn sitting their quarterback for this game to preserve his red shirt? I mean, they're definitely thinking long term. I mean, clearly with that decision, that's really about the only thing I come up with. I mean, what is their record right now? I mean, are they even still in contention for a bowl game? I don't think they're in contention for a bowl game. Maybe if they won, I mean, they're 14th in the SEC right now. I think if they won out, which, you know, I don't think they're going to beat Alabama, but I still don't think they would be. I think at this point they'd rather just have him for the future. But in this day and age, you don't even know if that would even still be the case with the transfer portal. But my thought is just, I mean, they obviously like him enough to maybe preserve him and hope. Yeah, they're 4-5. Yeah, I mean, what is it? You have to be what? You have to win, what, 6 games or something to get a bowl game? Something like that? I don't know. All I know is they're obviously planning on the future for that. But to me, I mean, I hate to say like this, you don't even know about guys and where they're going to be at it, you know, down the road anyways. I mean, if I thought he gave me a better chance to beat our in-state rival, I mean, to hell with the red shirt. I know that's selfish on our part or on the coach's part, but I don't know. I'm trying to win football games, and there's not even a guarantee that he's still going to be on your roster at that point. So that's just my perspective. But I don't know. We'll see, though. We'll have to see. All right, let's do this. Let's hit our timeout, get back on schedule. When we come back, we'll hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer, who had his press conference yesterday. We still have some time left. We'll probably hear from Kane Womack as well. And if you guys want to jump on here, feel free, 205-342-9904. We'll do that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa CDG.
Radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.folden@townsquaremedia.com and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Now at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $396 or more. Offer valid 11/5 through 12/3. U.S. only. See store online for details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
And Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. 2051. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday, this is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Real quick, all right, so now I have the whole context. My bad. We got that question from Sam, and I didn't have the whole, I guess, all the information. So they're sitting him this week. That way he can play against us and still redshirt, and he's a senior. I was thinking this was a younger guy. I didn't realize he was a senior. And okay, so now I have all the information. I would definitely do that. I mean, because he's going to preserve his redshirt but then still be able to play against us. And you still get a chance to have him come back for next season. Totally think that's smart. Really, because, yes, I'm sure they would like for him to get reps this week, right? Because he just took over the starting job. However, they're playing Mercer. And I would argue that he could get quality reps in practice against, you know, the first team defense that are probably a little bit more valuable. Just aren't in like a true game setting. But if you had to weigh your options, I'd definitely would do that if I was them. Now, obviously, I want us to have every advantage possible, but I'm just saying, if I was in that situation, that would probably be what I would do as well. Sorry, let's get to that point, man. I'm all over the place with my words. Here we go. We got to hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer. He spoke to the media yesterday. This was his press conference and previewing Eastern Illinois, but also talking a little bit about the Oklahoma game.
Just like I said the other night, disappointed in the outcome just from the game. And, you know, I guess the approach I can already see is dialed in. Like I told you, I know the character of this football team. And, you know, this is not a time to sit still. This is a time to keep moving forward. And we see areas that we can continue to improve on. But that's what we have done all season long. We continue to push, continue to go back to work, and these guys, again, they've shown how resilient they are, and you can see the want to and the fight, you know, getting down early in the game the other night, I think, and how we continued to compete is exactly what you see in the big picture of this season and what these guys are all made up of.
Start with Katie on the back left.
I think Saturday was the first time this year that y'all have used two players back in punt return. Just kind of was that something y'all saw from Oklahoma that you wanted to try, or is it something they've been kind of building towards all year that it was something you wanted to try on special teams?
Well, their punter was a little erratic. He hit long ones and he did short ones. And so some of the short ones, what would happen is they would roll out and end up being longer kicks because you play for the long game. And so I thought, you know, our guys did a good job of the fielding part. Obviously, we had a turnover, which was a big deal. And so, you know, from a schematic standpoint, that was a lot of the reason for that. And so you saw some of the ones that went longer. Ryan got his hands on those. And obviously field position plays a little bit of a role in that, but there were some shorter ones too. And so, you know, I felt like from a schematic standpoint, what we were doing made sense.
The rival of Charlie.
With Saturday being senior day, do you have any kind of update on Jamarian Latham and maybe where he stands on looking to come back for a seventh year?
Yeah, nothing as far as what the future holds. I know we'll continue to talk with him on that here. And obviously there would have to be something that's done from the NCAA level to get that year as well.
Yeah, the extended time of Wilkin at guard and Michael Carroll at right tackle. What did you think of kind of what they did together?
Yeah, I think they did a pretty good job. You know, I thought there was things where our execution was certainly improved. And I thought Wilkin did a nice job getting off the ball in some areas. There's a goal line play that I really felt like he really had a low hat and, you know, showed some things that he's continued to work on. And, you know, Michael was out there competing. You know, he's going to give everything he has. There's no doubt about it. You know, he doesn't look like a freshman. And he's played a lot of snaps this year that are meaningful. And together, I think those guys had a good week of practice. And, you know, again, it wasn't perfect. Things that they could have been better on. But there was a lot of success that they had together as well.
Jump over to the front left, Colin.
Hey, Kalen. Two questions, if I may. First, was Deshaun Jones available against Oklahoma? And if so, why did Red Morgan, I guess, take the snaps at Husky?
He was available, but he had a good injury the week before in the game. And that definitely limited a lot of his practice throughout the week. And so that gave Red more opportunity. Day-Day was available if we needed him.
Coach, you addressed the mechanics of the missed field goal on Saturday, but after the missed field goal, the television cameras caught Connor Talty kind of getting upset with David Byrne, the placement of the snap. Just what's your reaction to that, and really what's your message to the entire unit as they look to improve?
Yeah, we're all competitive, and those guys are competitive, and they want to make that kick and have the execution be at a high level. And every single one of those guys are always taking ownership. But obviously in that moment, you know, Connor's a competitive guy and he knows how important those points are. And, the response and everything like that. Not exactly what you want, but it's also an understanding of, how important it is to these guys. And they work together relentlessly in practice. I see it. There's a cohesiveness that these guys have. And so, in the locker room, I think they got that resolved very quickly after the fact. And we're ready to go out there and execute more throughout the game.
Far back left, we'll go to Matthew.
Hey, Coach. Early in that game, there was a big punt return from Oklahoma. Just what did you see from your special teams on that play?
I saw lots of your Brooks give unbelievable effort. From flying down the field, probably 50 plus yards, to almost getting the guy down and then rolling and getting right back up and chasing probably another 50 plus yards the other direction. I think that guy right there gives so much and has been so productive in the special teams all season. I think there might have been about a split second where one or two guys hesitated and that allowed for a couple blocks or just some just missed tackles. And then we lost a little contain. We knew in the return game, once he got rolling, he had some good speed. And we've done a great job against returners, but it's that one time when you flinch. And I don't know if we flinched, but we hesitated for a second and thought he was going to be down. And the blocks got back on us, and that's what happens, it was a big momentum shift early in the game for them that certainly got them 3 points, and we understand what the difference in the game was. And so there's a few of those one-off plays that were the difference in the game.
On the far left, we'll go to Theo next.
Coach, really big game for Josh Cuevas. We had the big reception by Edwards. Do you think tight ends can play a bigger role in the passing game moving forward?
Yeah, I think both in particular, Cuevas and Caleb do an amazing job. And that tight end position's always been important to our offense. It's not just the pass game, but it's the run game and the ability and the flexibility these guys have to line up wide, be in the core, move around. It's not just physical, it's mental capacity to do all these things. Josh is a stud. I see him on the one play make a guy miss in the flat, toe the sideline, and then, lower the shoulder at the end of the run. It's just the competitiveness he has. And Caleb, just continues to get better. You can see him with pad level for a tall guy continuing to work at it. He's got
great hands. He's been you can consistently count on with our tight end core, but those two certainly get the brunt of what we do as far as the reps.
All right, last question will be Emily Gray's front right.
Coach, you mentioned that dialed in approach that you're seeing. How thin is the margin of teams that use a loss like this to dig in and get better, like we've already seen your team do, and those that let it define them? And why has this team been able to show that they've been on the right side of that?
Yeah, I mean, these guys, and again, I got in the locker room, and it didn't surprise me, and I shared that with you, or you could feel what the hurt was, but also what the response would be. And the week of practice last week was phenomenal. And we can, again, you know, I've shared with you guys many times how we can track that, how we can see it, how we can feel it, how we can, you know, understand what that looks like. And again, the competitiveness, the fight that those guys had, it wouldn't have been there at that level if it wouldn't have been invested in the early part of the week and the process that these guys go through. And that will continue to be the case. We have to use this week to continue to get better. And that is the priority. That's where our head needs to be. And in order for us to continue to have the outcomes we want, we got to make it as simple as possible and focus on what we can control. And that's our mindset, our attitude, and then that leading to the effort and, continually each and every day get better.
Thank you, Coach.
So there you have it. That was head coach Kalen DeBoer speaking to the media yesterday. Chase, we can do this since we're already so close. We can just combine breaks real quick. Now, since we heard from Kalen DeBoer from yesterday, don't have enough time to hear from Kane Womack, but there were player interviews post practice today, and I know one that was short enough that we could hit was Jam Miller. So we can hear from him. I think actually either Jam or Nakihill Green. You know what? Nakihill Green popped up first. It's about the same duration in terms of the video. So let's do that. We'll hear from Nakihill Green. The reason I want to hear from him is because, to be fair, man, he's been playing some really good football. Me and Clint were just talking about that. So let's hear what he had to say speaking to the media post-practice today.
Ready to bounce back.
What do you know about each other?
They got two quarterbacks. One's a runner. The other can pass pretty well. They're solid. Got good backs. Some speed on the outside. You just got to be ready and be sharp.
Senior day this weekend. Just what's it meant to you getting to come here and those two?
Guys like TK, D-Law, I respect those guys, and I hope it's not the last time we take the field together in Bryan-Denny. And I just love Alabama. I love the people, and I love the city of Tuscaloosa. So I'm forever indebted to this place for giving me an opportunity. And, yeah.
Okay, obviously, defense had a strong game against Oklahoma, but a few opportunities where could have gotten a takeaway. What are some of the, I guess, points you guys are making to make sure that you can capitalize on this time around?
Yeah, just we view ourselves as an elite defense, and elite defenses get takeaways. So especially me, you know, I got to catch the interception that came my way and a few other key plays that I could have made and other guys could have made. Just elite defenses, we're on all the time. That's what we're harping on.
How about senior day? Could you ever imagine coming to a place like this growing up? Or was that always in the back of your head?
So other people around me had the confidence in me to be at a place like this, but I really didn't. So it's kind of surreal being here and just experiencing it.
Why didn't you, and when did that confidence sort of come?
I would say in high school, I started as a freshman, and that's when it kind of started, and everyone was looking at me like I was going to be the next big thing. So that's when it kind of started in high school.
You've seen Daniel Hill do some good things recently for the offense. Your view going against him in practice, what does he bring to the offense when he's running the ball?
Yeah, just his preparation. He's the same guy every day, so it's really not surprising what he does in the game because he does it at practice. And, yeah, I'm proud of him, and I hope he just keeps improving.
What has been the main message to just everyone coming off a tough loss against Oklahoma, but knowing that everything's still in front of you for the rest of the season?
Just focus on the process. Don't waste a second of any day, and don't take a day for granted. So really our process, and just focus on getting better each day and not focusing on outcomes, focusing on being process oriented.
A lot of people in the national media have said Alabama's not a championship contender after this loss to Oklahoma. How do you respond to those comments?
I don't. I honestly just tune all the noise out, and I don't focus on what they say, because they said we weren't going to win this many games after week one. So I just focus on our process and focus on continually getting better. So.
Does there feel like whiplash that one game changes the whole narrative around the team at a place like this?
Not really, because we harp on it so much. Like, we can't take things for granted because we're Alabama, we're everyone's Super Bowl. So we preach that every day. So it's not really, any play can change your season. That's how we look at it.
Was there a difference between just this loss and the Florida State loss just in the locker room?
Honestly, after the game, we're on to the next. Like, you can't go back, so I don't even remember, honestly. We're just on to the next after the game.
You mentioned Eastern Illinois having two quarterbacks, one that's going to run. How have you felt about the way you guys have played against mobile quarterbacks, and what are going to be the keys to keeping him in check?
Really just being gap sound and doing our job with a running quarterback. You can't try to do someone else's job, so really just every 11 guy on the field doing their job and just being in our gaps.
Last two.
Conference championship games in college football are kind of what's being talked about as a burden now. How does the team view that? And is that one of your goals? Are you guys trying to make that SEC championship game?
I mean, I'm not really worried about a conference championship. We got to win out. So I'm just focused on these two games.
Sorry if you've been asked about this, but are you going, what is like every goal kind of coming up? Still a lot to play for, things like that. What is your relationship with the senior day? Like, do you allow yourself to reflect on how far you've come, like your journey, or kind of how do you approach that?
It's kind of like I have so much respect for these seniors and just this place that I just want to win out and really like not focus so much on senior day, but just focus on improving so that we can play more games.
So there you go. That was Nakai Hill-Green speaking to the media after practice today. And that will conclude our Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Looking forward to doing it again tomorrow with you guys right here at 11 a.m. Central Time. And we will see you guys then. Big thanks to Chase and Reed behind the glass and all our listeners per usual. See you guys tomorrow.